Let's ask the Lord to help us. This doesn't sound right. Can you hear me okay?
No.
Put it in my mouth.
All I hear is a buzz.
Well, let's ask the Lord to help us. That sounds better. Father God, we again thank you for your wonderful word. Lord, there's so many things about Christmas that we miss every year, and yet your word is so clear about it. Help us, Lord, to focus in on who you are and why you came. And what a marvelous name is Jesus, the one that saves us from all our sins. Help us, Lord, to come to grips with that and to appreciate it more and more. Now we ask that we might be open to your Holy Spirit working with each of us. Lord, teach us. We're looking to you to be our teacher today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had trouble naming a child? Probably if you only have one or two, that is pretty easy. When we had six, we were really stuck on our fifth one. My husband wanted one name, and I wanted another name, and it looked like he was just going to be called the baby. Or maybe you've had a pet, and you couldn't come up with a name for the pet, and it's a problem. Well, our son Patrick now is middle-aged, and he's been Patrick so long, it's hard to think of him that we ever had a problem. But Jesus was really easy, because before he was conceived, he was named. And that would be so much easier. But his name is really important. It means he will save his people from their sins. It's a name above all names, isn't it? There's just something about the name of Jesus. I love to sing about Jesus' name. And Joan so beautifully brought that out this morning. It quiets us. It calms us. And when you don't even have any words to pray sometimes, when life can really hit you a blow, you can just say his name over and over again, and you can just sense his presence. It's wonderful. Well, Mary and Joseph were careful to follow the law so that on the eighth day, Jesus was circumcised. And then according to the law, a woman was declared unclean for 40 days after she gave birth to a baby boy. It's interesting, there's no equality there, because she would be declared unclean 60 days if she had had a girl. And we always, when we studied Leviticus, wanted to know why that was. And we still to this day don't know the real reasons. But she was required after 40 days to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice. And if they were wealthy, it would have been a lamb and a dove, but for a sin offering for herself and for her cleansing time. She and Joseph were poor, so they brought two pigeons. One was a burnt offering that was in consecration to God, that was in thanksgiving, and the other was a sin offering. And then the priest would declare Mary clean, and every other woman that had a baby. And if you wonder about that, that you can find that in Leviticus 12. And if you can come up with a good idea why, if you had a baby girl, it took longer for cleansing, then let me know, because I still don't know. But it was here at the temple that they met Simeon and Anna. And God had promised Simeon he would see the salvation of God. What did he see? A little baby. Salvation is a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. You either have him or you don't have him. You either trust him or you don't trust him. Pretty hard to find a middle ground. And my question would be to you, do you have him? Do you have him today? What did Simeon say is found in Luke 2:29. It says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. This is after he picked up Jesus. And according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring salvation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So Jesus was for all races and for all nations. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things that were spoken of him. Note that it says Joseph and his mother, not his father and his mother, because Joseph was not the father. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which we've spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's a pretty heavy message. And it's I'm grateful it includes the Gentiles in there, because that's us. And but Mary paid a tremendous cost having the Lord. There would have been ridicule and scorn, and there'd be pointing the finger that Jesus was illegitimate. There's all of that we studied last week, where she and Joseph went 90 miles to get to Bethlehem to register. I don't know. I still think when I was 9 months along, I couldn't see my toes and I couldn't bend, and the thought of walking anywhere, let alone 90 miles, I was trying to think how many miles that would be today. That would be, if you took off from here and walked all the way past San Jose, probably to Morgan Hill, maybe even further, maybe to Gilroy, it'd be about 90 miles. So, good luck. That could be Monterey. I don't think the outlets are worth all that walking. So, and Joseph, too, had a real hardship with this. And then in our lesson today, we noticed that they had to take off to Egypt to save the baby. And I figured it was about 100 miles to the border. And we don't know where in Egypt they stayed. But that, again, was a long walk. And if you had a donkey, that would be painful, I think. And we forgot, too, that Joseph did not have sex relations with Mary until after Jesus was born. And it's when you think of that in light of today's morality, in light of today's sexual activities, to wait that long was just an amazing thing. Because our public schools, of course, give all the information, and then I guess they hand out condoms, but there's no restraint. And what happens is then there's a lot of unhappy singles and there's a lot of unhappy marrieds, because God has a certain way for marriage, and when we violate it, we always pay the price. And we can't forget that he was born among the very creatures that he had created. And I know I had 4 of my kids at Eden Hospital. The thought of going to a stable to have one, you wonder if maybe even the animals kind of knew this was a very special baby, and maybe they tried to nuzzle him as he was born. I don't know. But they had to do a lot. Mary would pay a further price when she would stand at the cross and see her son take on the sin of the world and die. But Simeon had warned her she would suffer as his mother. Then Anna was in the picture too. I figured she was about 106. And the way I get that is that she was a widow 84 years. She was married 7 years. And she probably was about 15 when she got married. That makes her 106. Now, if you have a better number, just let me know, because my math has never been very good. But she was very faithful and close to God, and God granted her the gracious insight of recognizing his son, the Messiah. She worshiped and gave thanks. Truly, Emmanuel, God is with us, was true in that temple. Anna and her faithfulness, I hate to rush right by it, because God takes pleasure in answering prayers that come from a faithful heart. Night and day fasting, I can't imagine it. I have enough trouble. Well, I should be fasting more, but I can't imagine it. 106, praying and fasting, it just kind of blows me away. But she yearned to see the Messiah, and God chose very few people to encounter this little one when he was born. Faithful prayers may mean a lifetime of waiting to receive an answer. God is looking for intercessors who are willing to continue to pray, to believe until they see God's answer. And we've seen that in this class, where we've seen 3 husbands come to the Lord after years and years and years and years of prayer. But all 3 of them have come into the kingdom. praise God. We don't want to forget the wise men. So dutifully, every Christmas day or Christmas season, what do? We put out three wise men, right? But there were probably dozens of them. And they came with a very large entourage of camels and slaves and helpers and tents and so on. We figured they came about 1,000 miles, and it took 4 months. So you might think it's hard to come to Bible study on Tuesday morning, but just be thankful you're not riding a camel. We don't know if those wise men were Arabian, Persian, or Babylonian. I have a hunch they're Babylonian because the Jews were exiled, forced to go to Babylon for 70 years. And I think the truth probably and the scriptures probably were there. Now, if you want to make them Persian, that's okay, because I can remember since I was a child that that's what they had called them. But when you put out your three wise men this Christmas, remember, there was probably several dozen of them. So when they came, they followed the star to Jerusalem. Obviously, it would have to be in the capital, right? He would be born there. But it caused quite a stir, and Herod didn't like any rivals. So it's interesting. I think this is one of the most important things of the lesson, at least it is to me. Herod called for the scribes and the priests to check the prophecies, and they came back and said, yes, he's to be born in Bethlehem. Now, why didn't any of them go check it out? But see, they weren't tuned in. And that's why Anna and Simeon and a few angels, and the wise men were allowed to see this great one that had been born. So then Herod must have believed, because then he sent soldiers to Bethlehem to kill off all the babies 2 years and under, male babies. He didn't want any rival. Then they were warned, the wise men were warned not to go to back through Jerusalem, but go to another route. Otherwise, it would have been even more difficult. And after Mary and Joseph went off to Egypt. I think Jesus had a pretty normal upbringing. I can't imagine living with a child, though, that's sinless. I can't even stretch that one. We're having 4 sons and 2 daughters, and you just don't have to go into it, you know. But Jesus was normal from the standpoint he was trained. He was trained in the scriptures. He submitted to his parents, and he was well taught. I think probably Mary was caught up with the rest of the family, brothers and sisters that were born afterwards. And we think that Joseph probably died at a fairly young age, or at least when Jesus was in his teens. That would put Jesus as the head of the household, and he probably very lovingly helped his brothers and sisters. They didn't notice he was sinless. It still just gets to me. But at the age of 12, Mary and Joseph were on a frantic search for the missing Christ. But it wasn't Jesus that was lost. It was Mary and Joseph who were lost. For to be without Christ is to be lost indeed. They supposed he was part of the group. What a mistake to suppose anything. We must make sure. This is particularly relevant to those who have been brought up in Christian homes. They're used to hearing about Jesus. They're used to hearing about the truth about Scripture. And you're used to hearing it at home and at church. And they know all about him. But perhaps they've never made it a personal thing into their own hearts. And they go away to college, and then an agnostic professor confronts them with their faith and there the little bit that they understood goes out the window. Or they take a job, and the boss mocks Christians, and they've lost him. Well, they lost him because it was never really personal, never taken inside. Joseph and Mary sought him sorrowing, and they were desperate. And if you have ever sought Jesus and were desperate, I was in that place one time, and you're really seeking him and searching for him, relax, because he says that if you seek after him, you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him. And so, of course, it also kind of slays me that they finally found him in the temple after searching for 3 days. They should have put it together and realized that's the very first place that he would go. And but they found him in the temple, and that's where, for most of us, we would find him in the temple too. Isn't that true? We find him at church, we find him in a Bible study, and but you can find him anywhere. Jesus is not that far away. And then we have John the Baptist. This in our lesson, and he's an interesting character. I'd be anxious to see him in heaven, what he looks like. I wonder if he'll still be wearing that camel skins. But Jesus said he was the greatest of all of the Old Testament prophets. I kind of think of him as being like a nature boy. And that, of course, dates me, because there used to be a song in the old days called Nature Boy, and I see all the gray heads are all nodding. But please note that the crowd went out to see John the Baptist. He didn't rent a stadium or an auditorium or a church. He didn't have any committee. In fact, he didn't come to town at all. And this is the one spoken of by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. You guys, this year I'm giving you memory work in the NIV, but listen to this. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be brought low. The crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Now that's the New King James, and don't you like that better than your memory work this week? Besides, if you ever sing the parts of the Messiah, that it sounds just the same. So I had a real struggle this week with the NIV, but I bent to your desires of wanting to have something easier. I fully understand, but I keep telling myself, if I know my address and my telephone number, there's no reason why I can't memorize. Well, he wore camel's hair, not the nice camel's hair that you would get if you went to the store to buy a coat. It was strictly off the camel. And then he had a leather belt around him. Can't you just see him? He must have been kind of wild and woolly. And then, of course, he had this wonderful diet of honey and locusts, and we all decided he must have dipped the locusts in the honey to make them edible. But even if they were chocolate-covered, I don't think I'd eat one. Well, John the Baptist, as we call him, what was his baptism for? It was for the washing away of sins, and it was preparing the way for the one coming. And you probably wouldn't have this man as a pastor in your church because of the things that he would say, and yet they were the truth. And sometimes we almost need a slap up the side of the head to get it. And John saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming. This would be in Matthew 3, verse 9. He said to them, "Brood of vipers." Now, can you see your pastor saying that? You bunch of snakes out there. I don't think he'd get hired, do you? Well, who warned you from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these rocks. So that's very sobering, because what is he doing? He's speaking to the religious, and he might be saying something to us today, because it's very easy to kind of hide behind religious activity and not take it into our hearts personally. It was for the washing away of sins, and they were counting on the fact that they had Abraham as their father, so they had no need to repent. And yet righteousness and fruit go together, and they had neither. John said he would not baptize with the Holy Spirit. That would be coming, and they would receive. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are baptized into his body. Now, if you have any question about this, just keep it this way. John the Baptist washed away sin in preparation for the coming of the Lord. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're baptized into his death, and then you come to new life in him. I now have the power of the Lord within me to walk the walk, to turn away from sin, and to understand his word. And that's exactly what happens when you receive Christ as your Savior. So what is baptism today? Baptism is simply, water baptism is to demonstrate how when you go down in the water, how you died to Christ, and when you came back up, you have new life in him. It's a thing of obedience. It's, I probably shouldn't say this, but you remember my husband and I didn't have much. I had a lot of religion, and we had never witnessed a baptism before. And we started going to Redwood Chapel, and my husband worked Sundays, so he would come for the evening service. And we suddenly saw our first baptism, and I'll never forget it. These wooden doors opened up, and there was the pastor. He was standing in water, and we had never seen that before. So I'm elbowing my husband, and he's elbowing me back so we wouldn't giggle. That was the funniest thing we'd ever seen. And you know what? We were baptized in that church a month later. That's how God worked in our hearts to show us that we needed to follow the Lord in baptism. And but I'll never forget that, because it just was something else. I know you all seen it over and over again, so you think I'm nuts, but that's okay. So the question comes up then, why was Jesus baptized? Because he had no sin, but there's three reasons why he was baptized. It was to fulfill all righteousness. And we would pick that up in Isaiah 53:12. It says, therefore I will divide him the portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So this is Jesus identifying himself with sinful humanity. And the second reason is it was the starting point of his public ministry. And then, of course, the third point would be that this was confirmed by God the Father, who said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So those were the three reasons. And John the Baptist, of course, made it clear that his message would not be the final one, the one that would come after him with fire of the Holy Spirit, which would happen at Pentecost. So the question might be left in our minds today, really, what is repentance? I'll read you a little blurb here from Blackbee's Experiencing God devotional. I think this sums up repentance so well. God's instruction for preparation is specific. Repentance. This involves a complete change of mind, heart, will, and behavior towards him. He is Lord, and your life must be prepared to receive him as your Lord. Anything less is inadequate. Some were obviously unprepared to follow Jesus and missed the opportunity. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were largely unprepared for his arrival. They knew the Messiah was coming. They even knew where he would be born, Matthew 2, 4 through 6. Yet when word came that the Savior had been born, they made no effort to join him, preferring instead of their religious ritual. If you are unprepared too, you will miss the opportunity to experience Jesus. You may practice religion, but you will miss God. While others encounter the Lord personally in worship, your heart will remain unmoved. As others receive a fresh word from God, you will experience a painful silence. Religious activities can never substitute for a heart that is pure before Him. Purity comes only through repentance. Pray, as the psalmist did, that God will examine your heart and reveal that your need to repent is your sin. And may I say that needs to be a pretty constant effort on our part, is to examine our lives, preferably day by day, so that where there's an unkind word, there's unkind thoughts, unkind things said, maybe even in actions, unloving, so on. You can keep a short account with the Lord so that you remain very closely related to Him. This was John's message. And their lives, it was to prepare them for Jesus' coming. You know, preparation must precede presence. I repeat that. Preparation must precede presence. Unprepared, you'll miss out what the others are receiving for the Lord. So we need to check our sin life and see if we're clean and pure before the Lord. That's when He speaks best. Let's ask Him to help us. Father God, if there's anyone here today that hasn't made that decision to receive You as their personal Savior, just like Simeon picked up the Lord Jesus as a baby and knew salvation had come, if they have not received that, Lord, today I pray that they might not go through the rest of the day without Christ, that they might fall to their knees and ask You, Lord, to be their Savior, that they want to become Your child and be cleansed of their sins. And Lord, for others of us that get a little sloppy around the edges and think, well, that was no big deal, press upon our hearts, Lord, when we do sin, that we can be quick to confess it to You, to receive forgiveness and have a close walk with You. Oh God, I think of John the Baptist out in the wilderness, really seeking the face of God, preparing himself for his walk, and studying the Word, how we want to be like that. We want to be tuned in, Lord, especially in this age where we don't know what could happen from day to day. Help us, Lord, to keep close accounts with You, and we simply give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.